Okay, we're live. I'll just start off with some comments. I got a request this morning that if we could please slow down and translate a little more. So I will try to be cognitive of that. I did a little translations on the sheet today. I put in things that were easy to find. This is the weekly halacha related to Parsha Shir. We start off the Parsha, we come into it a little later. So there is a pasuk in Mishle, which says, Zecher Tzadik Levracha V'Shem Risham Yirkov. As it's translated there, that when a person passes on, and the person is a Tzadik, we refer to him as Zecher Tzadik Levracha, Zatzal. And however, if somebody's on the other end of the spectrum, we say Shem Risham Yirkov. Rashi says, what does that mean? Zecher Tzadik Levracha, Hamaskir Tzadik Mavarcho. Whenever I mention the Tzadik, it is a blessing. V'shem Risham Yirkov, Rikavon Ole B'shmam, Shein Anam Chafis, Lahaskir Shmo, V'hu Mishkakach Me'elav. What does it mean? That since nobody wants to mention he whose name is not mentioned, eventually he whose name is not mentioned is forgotten, because no one mentioned he whose name's name. In fact,
what?
So, this in fact is a halacha. You look at the Gemara in Yuma, Lamed Chesamad Beis, Mai V'Shem Risham Yirkov. What does it mean, V'Shem Risham Yirkov? Amar Rebbe Elazar, Rikvivos Tale B'Shmosa V'Lo Maskinim B'Shmayu. Rottenness enters the names, none name their children after them. This seems to be a halacha based on the pasuk, that in the event that somebody is a Rasha, we do not name people after it. There aren't many Adolfs running around the Jewish community at this point, and it's not just a coincidence, but in fact, when somebody is pure evil, we don't name after them, with the hope of the person, even though we say never forget, we hope they are forgotten.
Even a Mongolian, not too many people named Genghis.
Not as many as you'd expect.
They do
tshuva,
then you do.
What? So we'll discuss that. We'll discuss what exceptions are. The reason I raise it this week is because in this morning's laning, we list off the Meraglim. The Meraglim are not the most upstanding individuals. And then we list off their names. It says, Ve'eilo shmosom l'matei Reuven Shamua ben Zakur, l'matei Shimon Shafat ben Chori. And we have here a list of names of those people. One would imagine that if a person was one of the 10 bad Meraglim, and they're named here, we should probably avoid giving those names. However, we'll see in Tanakh and Gemara that those names pop up again. For example, in Divrei Hayamim, it says, "Bnei Shachni Yashamya Uvini Vashmaya Chotush V'Yigal Uvariach V'Naaseh Shafat Shisha." So it lists off six names, and one of them is Shafat. Even though Shafat was the Meragel from Mate Shimon, still somebody later on named their son the same name. Similarly, Shamua, even though Shamua is not the type of name you'd want your child to have, we give you Gemara and Erevin, but this is one of many examples. Amarevik Shayinu Lomdim Torah Eitzel Rebbe Elazar Ben Shamua Hayinu Yoshim Shisha Shisha Ba'ama. Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua appears oftentimes in the Gemara. So again, the name Shafat and Shamua should have been off, yes.
Are the Meraglim considered Rishayim, or are they considered Chatoim, Chotim?
We believe that the Meraglim do not have a Chayuk in Olam Haba. So.
Then how come?
It's fairly severe.
I mean,
don't want to overstate the case, but.
I've always heard the teaching these are, you know, princes of the tribe, and they were...
Yep, they definitely...
High-level people, et cetera, et cetera.
They definitely started off that way.
Uh-huh. So by the time they make the report, they're...
Well, at the time they make the report, they are.
I see.
So that is the question that is asked. How come we see that there's this basic rule, you don't name after Rishayim? How come the Meraglim are exceptions to the rule, perhaps? Or are they exceptions to the rule? In order to understand this, we go to a Gemara Ksubas, a Mishnah. This is one of the cases where we don't really care what the Mishnah says. We care who said it. The Mishnah says, Shnei Dayani Gezeros Hayim Yerushalayim. There were two Dayanim that made Gezeros, that made proclamations, shall we say. In Jerusalem, one's name was Admon, and the other one was Hanan ben Avishalom. What?
Not Abishalom.
Correct. Tosus points out that this is according to a specific girsa. Hachi Garish Rabbeinu Tam. This is Rabbeinu Tam's version of the Gemara. The Hagarab Meir, Damar Parachelek, the Avshalom Engelchelk Rom Haba. Because Avshalom, who is Avshalom? Avshalom was the son of David who rebelled. Right? And according to one opinion in Parakhelik, he does not have a chayek on Olam Haba. Now, there is a second opinion that he does have a chayek on Olam Haba. I'll mention that. But clearly, good guy, not so much. So therefore, he says, so, Hechi maskinim b'shmei had aminim b'yuma perakam nuna b'shem rishom yirkav v'ro maskinim b'shemayu. He said, after all, it says in the Gemara in Yuma that evil people, their names should rot. We do not name after them. But Avishalom, shame Adam, the Kiksiv, Aviyo ben Avishalom. Avishalom actually is a name. So therefore, Rabbeinu Tam says, obviously this person cannot be Hanan ben Avshalom, because no one can name their child Avshalom. The Pnei Yehoshua on that Tosfos wants to know some other cases. So we start by quoting Tosfos, Hanan ben Avishalom, Hachi Garis Rabbeinu Tam, Da Avshalom en Lochel Rom Haba, Inkam Ad Kam Lashonu. Vekoshali, Da Kati Koshme, Da Tanin Beperek Chelak, Dor Hamidbo, En Lohem Chel Rom Haba. He says, wait a second. Is this such a widespread rule that you never name anyone after someone who's a Rasha? After someone who doesn't have a Chelak and Olam Haba? Yes, Jenny? Correct. That's what we mentioned. That is the second opinion, right? Right. That the idea that he was supposed to go to Gehenna, but David was somehow able to daven to bring him up from Gehenna. How does that work exactly? If you deserve Gehenna, but if your father's an important guy, he can get you out of it. So that's what
sounds like that.
Mm-hmm. So.
So my question: so Avshalom is not a name.
Avshalom is a name, but it's not a name that we use. We would not, according to Tosfos, you cannot name your son Avshalom, or your daughter for that matter.
Okay, but because he was rebellious?
Because he was an evil person who lost his share in the world to come.
I believe there was a famous Chazan, Los Angeles, named Avshalom.
First name?
Yeah.
Okay, well, we better look into it then.
They're equating Avshalom and Avishalom.
No, what they're saying is that the guy's name must have been Avishalom because it could not have been Avshalom.
Uh-huh.
That's the point here. So he says, wait a second, it says in the Gemara that the Dor HaMidbar, that the generation that died on the Midbar, they don't have a Chayek Olam Haba. Then came Koshi, came the Meragim, Ein Lahem Chayek Olam Haba. And if the generation doesn't, of course the Meragim don't. So how do we use the names of the people that were the Meraglim? The Hashamua ben Zakur, Haimei Meraglim, V'Ashkechan Rebbe Lezer ben Shamua, V'Shafat ben Chori, Nami Ashkechan Tuva B'Divrei Yamim, Sheshmam Shafat. There's lots of Shafats in Divrei Yamim. You ever do Chronicles? You'll meet a lot of them. V'Harbe Keyotze Ve'Elu, etc., etc. So Bnei Yehoshua offers the following. He says, "V'efshar kaven the Amrin and the Meragim al Shem Maaseim Nikru im Kain Ein Ze Iker Shmein Hashem Shehem." V'kalahavin. One possibility that he offers is perhaps when we say that these are the name of the Meragim, it's not actually the name of Meragim. These were their nicknames. These were not their given names. Where does that come from? We can skip ahead a little bit. For example, to number 10. The Gemara says that Kalev ben Yefuna and Kalev ben Chetzron were actually the same person. As it says, the Kalev ben Chetzron holy the Sazuva Isha, Vesh Yirios Vaila Boner Yosha Veshova Vardnum. Says ben Chetzron, ben Yefuna Shehu. His name not that. So he says, Ben shepana me'atzatz meraglim. Because he turned away from meraglim, we call him Kalei ben Yefuna. But it actually wasn't his name. This was just a name indicating what he did. Similarly, we have in the Medrash in this week's parasha, Ve'eloshmos ha'anoshim ma'hoyishmosam sesur ben Michael Nachmi ben Vafsi Geuel ben Machi. He says, Kosuv behen sesur she'sosur min ha'olam. Why do you call him sesur? Because he closed him out from Olam Haba, indicating that his mother didn't name him sesur. But rather, he had another name. That other name we wouldn't use, but this nickname, that you're allowed to use. So since it wasn't his actual name, that's answer one. However, the Pnei Yeshua himself is not that excited about it. So Pnei Yeshua says, if it wouldn't be for Tosfos, actually this would be my answer. He said, the only time you can't name someone after someone who's bad is if he has a bad name. What is a bad name? Doeg. Who's Doeg? Shashem gufa mora al zeshay rosh gedar shinun diksiv Doeg v'kin Doeg. Shaya kosh bachu Doeg shema yetzel atar basurav. Why was he called Doeg? He was called Doeg because Hashem was afraid what was going to be with this kid. Then ken shayach lomod lo maskinam b'shemayu. To me, that's why. V'od misomar o nimtza shum adam tzarek shahaya rog Shem Kayotze Bazem, Masha Enkin Baavshalom with Kayotze Bo, the Efshe Shekodim Rozek, Kama Tzadikim Nikru Bashem Zev Avshalom. It's Kayoshem Zev, sorry, Vavshalom Gufanir Sher Yatzadikodim Shemarad Baviv. So another possibility, he's admitting this isn't the answer of Tosfos, but another possibility is perhaps there were many Avshaloms in the world. And some of them were good and some of them were bad. And just because one guy goes bad doesn't mean that no one can be named for him. If he was the first Avshalom and he was a bad guy, then no one should be named after him further. But if he's in fact a good guy, so let's say nowadays we'll get to the name Yishmael. Right?
Say it again.
Yishmael. Can you name your son Yishmael? Rocket Ismael, I'd like to name my son. Right? The great Rocket Yishmael. I think people in Colorado remember him. Yes, yes. So is there anything wrong that naming your kid Yishmael? Was Yishmael a good guy? So on the one hand, the Yishmael in the Chumash isn't such a good guy, but the Yishmael in the Gemara, we say his tefillah at the beginning of davening. We don't say any of the Karbanos even. We only say his. Right? So obviously must have been a great guy. So that's another answer. So the Pnei Yeshua offered three answers regarding the Meraglim. Right? Answer number one is that it wasn't really their names. Two is you're limited to only people whose name indicate their evilness that you can't name after them. And the third one being, if you have both good people and bad people who share the same name, you can name it after, you can use that name as well. He admits, though, however, his last two are against Tosfos. But despite that, he says it. Another interesting case that comes up is the name Shaul. In the Chumash, we are in Parshas Vayigash, we meet one of the members of the family of Shimon was Shaul ben Akananis. A very odd name. Shaul, the son of the Canaanite woman. So who's the Shaul ben Akananis? So if you look at the Targum, it says, B'nei Shimon, Yimuel v'yamin v'oha v'yachin v'tzochar, for Shaul, who Zimri? David Uvda de Kanoi Beshitim. It's actually Zimri, who acted like someone who wasn't Jewish, later on, soon enough, at the end of Parshas Balak. So therefore, if Shaul is Zimri, you can't name your kid Shaul.
Lived a long life.
What? Not the happiest
engaging
end.
In,
correct.
Extracurricular activities at the end of Balak.
That is correct. Again, not the happiest ending.
Shaul was only a kibbutz.
What?
Shaul was only a kibbutz.
Oh, so that's one possibility. So let's see what this opens up the possibility to other answers. The Yehuda Yale, Yehuda Asad, raises this issue and it says, Hamayim Sheveisa Shehu Ras. Sheveisa. Shaul Yeshabachuso Haisha Sha'ula. So the original Shaul, the Gemara says, why was he called Shaul? Because it was a temporary kingship. Why was it temporary? It had to be temporary. Why did it have to be temporary? Because he wasn't from Shevet Yehuda. Correct. He was from Shevet Binyamin. It's an interesting, there's a discussion actually among the Mefarshim. What if he would have been a good guy? It's kind of one of those what if the South would have won the Civil War questions. It worked out. There was a temporary melucha and he messed up. And what if he wouldn't have messed up?
He wasn't anointed the same way that David was.
So?
So it still would have been temporary. Nothing lasts forever.
So, again, there's temporary and there's temporary. Machus based David, you know, cracked at some point. It's having a hiatus currently. That's an interesting question. But the bottom line is the Gemara says that's why he was called Shaul, actually, because it was Shaul. It was just kind of borrowed. So the question is, what?
Does Shaul mean borrowed?
Yes. Yes, Shaul means borrowed. Mishol is to borrow something. It's to ask and to borrow. There are two words for borrowing. There is mishol, and there's also lilvot, right? When you're borrowing money, you're saying that I want to be use the word lilvot, as opposed to if I'm borrowing a thing, I am a shoel. And when among the four shomrim are you have a shomer sacher, a shomer chinam, a socher, and a shoel. If I borrow something, I'm called a shoel. So he is shaul. He is borrowing it. So he asked the question, but wait a second. How could he have that name? Metzina Batorah, Vishal ben Akananis, Pierce Rashi, says Zimri. Not really Rashi. She also Maisa Kananis, find the Kasha, Eich Koro Lashol, B'Shem Chotek Zimri. So how did Shaul's parents, how did Kish name his son Shaul? So he gives a few answers, some of them fascinating. Nearly Pshita, Shem Yesh Gam Tzarek Ve'oso Shem, Vadei Shopir Maskina Mishmei. So the first answer is really the Pnei Yeshua's second answer, and says, as long as there's someone else that we know that is a tzaddik, you can use the name. What are the Shauls do we know? So there is another Shaul in Bereishis. Shaul Merechovos Nahar. Shem Shaul Shem Metzino Od Betor B'So Parshas Vayishach Shom Rechavos Nahar. But also Malchi Kodem Shezachu Litzlichu Remarucha Refnei Atara Hayu Kaimi Zayim Mitzvos Bnei Noach Michasiyas Omas Olam Hayu. Who was he? So it says at the end of Parshas Vayishach Eira Marach Hashem Marach BeEdom Refnei Marach Merach BeYisrael. So he's one of those. He said the guy kept the Zayim Mitzvos. He's a tzaddik. The fact that there was another shul that was bad, it's quite a chiddush to just assume that one of the Malchi Edom was a tzaddik. It's a little bit of a leap of faith, that answer. Domon democh shal achrev shom baal chanan, etc. Ubihirish Ramban shal yishmo chanan, levad, v'arei chanan, v'arei maskinu mishmei, betosis, etc. He said, reish perik perik beidayonim. He said, the proof being, the next king's name was Hanan. If you remember, the whole Tosfos was a guy whose name was what? What ben Avishalom? Hanan ben Avishalom. He said, it has to be Avishalom, it can't be Avshalom. Why didn't he complain about Hanan? As if Hanan wasn't a bad guy. If Hanan wasn't a bad guy, Mr. Mishol wasn't a bad guy either. Okay? No, what we're saying is that
why do we have to wait?
If you give birth to a son, you should name him Shai. You shouldn't name him Adolf. You shouldn't name him Achashverosh. You shouldn't name him Antiochus. I know these are probably all finalists, right? But we're telling you now, it's good that you pick Shai. So we'll discuss. Nimrod is one of many popular names in Eretz Yisrael that would seem to run afoul of this. So his first answer is, he says, we can assume that there's another good shul. Va'od. Nearly the other maskin and b'shem Russia. This is an interesting. Nafkele mikra v'shem Rishayim Yerkov. When do we learn that you're not allowed to name after a Russia? It's a pasuk. Where's the pasuk? When was Mishlei written? Shlomo HaMelech. So next possibility is the rule only began then. Before then, you can name after whoever you wanted. So Shaul lived before Shlomo. So the rule didn't start yet. Okay, interesting. Not that practical nowadays. Third possibility, this is even a more narrow reading. So he gets up and he says that, you know, so therefore, even if you tell me that maybe Shomer Rechavos Nar, he wasn't the greatest guy, still, since Shaul was lived before Shlomo, that's not a problem. The Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, later on in Bar Midbar, is bothered by this. And he says, L'shol Mishpachas, so if you remember, when we get to Pinchas, we have all the families set over with the Shem Hashem, a hay in front and a yud in the back. So he wants to know, if Shaul was a bad guy, why is it Mishpachas HaShauli? Why do we even mention the guy later on? If he really was Zimri, A. And B, to put Shem Hashem on it? For sure not. Rav Seinu Amru, V'zeh Roshonu Rav Yochanan Chamesh, Shem was Nikru Ro Zimri, Shaul Ben HaKananis, V'kosh Redivri HaMedra, Shaul HaOmor Kan, Hu Zimri, Lama Yimiyachis Hashem Shmo HaMishpachto HaMishpachto, How do we know? Why in the world would Hashem put his name where we say Hashauli to a guy who's really a bad guy? Doesn't it say Shem Rishayim Yerkov? You shouldn't even mention it, little Ness put Hashem's name on it. So what's he saying? He's saying that Zimri was punished for what he did. But once he was punished, the Avera was gone. Yes, he was a Rasha, but he paid his dues. He was killed by Pinchas. And after that, he was a tzaddik again. So that's why Hashem puts his name in it. He says, you know what? Yeah, he sinned, but he got his punishment, and now he's as good as anyone else. He said, why is it called Shaul? Because he loaned himself out to an Avera. He was only a loan. He didn't sell himself out. So that's another approach. That ultimately, when we talk of a Russia, it's a Russia who ultimately didn't get Kapar at the end. If the Russia got Kapar, he was fine. What? Right. Well, again, this type of misa for sure would be.
So Shaul was killed by Yoav. Why doesn't he have a pelech for the mother? Wasn't that a kapara?
So that's a question, whether that was a kapara or not. He wasn't killed because of his sins as punishment for it. He was killed in battle.
It's irrelevant that misa is always a kapara. Huh?
No, not necessarily. Misa's basin is a kapara.
And it is a kapara.
What? No.
I think it's better just a kapara.
Again, not for everyone. If you ain't lochel lama haba, obviously you never got kapara. You can't say for everyone. Yes? We're good? The Chasam Sofer has a very different approach. The Chasam Sofer points out the following. When Shmuel is born, why did Chana name him Shmuel?
What?
Hashem Sha'altiv. I'm borrowing this from Hashem. Wait a second. If that's what you want to do, Kimiach Shmuel, if it's Kishamah Kel, if God heard me, I get Shmuel. Kisha Altiv, his name should be Shaul. So the Chasam Sofer said, why didn't you name him Shaul? So he said, Lo nizru l'kro b'shem Shaul mirachovas hanar mimachay edom asher mochu v'nei moroch melech v'nei Yisrael v'shaul ben akananis, etc. He said, why do you call him Shaul? Because there were previous Shauls and they weren't good guys. Shaul mirachovas nahar, that was a king of Edom. Shaul ben akananis, tradition has it that Zimri. V'ayim mashakosu b'tiv gittim b'shem Shaul sh'regilin l'krosso Shaul. Vein suffik hu mitam hanam. That when you, that there are people in tradition, when you write the name Shaul in a get, you don't write Shaul, you write Shoel to avoid using the name of a bad person. Vechana kara b'no Shmuel. Ki me Hashem she'altiv, v'lo kara hu Shaul me'loshen she'altiv. V'yavsika ha'teva b'mem. She put a mem in the middle to break it up. Ein suffik geisli ki ha'yisan is heres b'zem mitam hanam. There's no doubt in my mind that that's why she put the mem in, the Chasam Sofer says. Now here's the kicker. V'kish avi Shaul, Kish, the father Shaul, lo nizhar, v'chazi ma'olsa. He wasn't careful, and look what became of him. So this is a very different approach. Why could you name your son Shaul, even if the first guy's a Shaul? The answer according to the Chasam Sofer is, you can't. You can't, and it didn't turn out well. Another name.
If a parent misnames a child, the child pays the price for it? That doesn't make sense.
Well, this is a bigger question of the idea of a name, how it affects a person's personality. Noach Matzochein. Right? I think the Zohar comments on that. That the word Noach is from the word Chayin, that he was given that. It brought out that in his personality. Just like a name can have a positive effect, it can work the other way as well. So again,
it almost sounds like punishing the child for the sin of the parent.
No. A child grows up in a family, a broken home.
A mom's a better example.
No. A family goes up in a broken home, right? And they get married, and ultimately the marriage ends in divorce because they grew up in a broken home. They don't know how to treat a wife. They don't know how to act properly. It's because of the parents. Is the child being punished?
It's a consequence, not punishment.
Yes. Same idea. The Chidon, the Shem HaGedolim, deals with another person. He deals with Eliezer. Eliezer wants his daughter to marry Yitzchak. What does Avram say? Why not? Ata Oror, you are cursed. You want to name your kid after someone who is cursed? So what's a Rebbe Eliezer?
Why is he cursed?
What? No, meaning that he was not listed as a good person. So therefore, how can you name after him? It's not because of his name he's bad. It's because he's bad, we shouldn't use the name. That's the question. So again, we have...
Eliezer wasn't bad.
He's Aror, he's cursed.
But he wasn't...
We'll get to that.
Okay.
That could play a relevant role. Say, for example, a grandfather or a father isn't a good person, and now...
It's
time to name your child, so now you'll name
after the grandfather
because. Put a mem in the middle of the name.
Yeah. It doesn't only go that way. If someone is Ra Mazle, we don't name after them. If someone dies young, the minhag is not to give the name over, but rather to adjust it.
How young is young? At what age?
I guess it depends. It's in the eyes of the beholder. But young is older than it used to be.
Okay.
Yeah, right? So that's why oftentimes you'll add a chayim or you'll add an altar. These are the popular things to do to avoid it. So also, in the event that you have someone who's really not a good person, you add another name. So you're not actually naming after them. So the Chidah raises this issue as, what about Eliezer? Namely, how did Moshe Rabbeinu name his son Eliezer?
When he said your Orur, he wasn't talking about the name. He happened to be cursed, but he really didn't have anything against it.
You want your son to be cursed?
I don't want your daughter to marry my son
because
you're Orur.
Right.
But it wasn't his name, Eliezer.
No, but then he's not. Then
he was reason. He said, "Kielokei Avi Be'ezri." So he wasn't naming after Eliezer. He was.
So you're saying it's coincidental,
right?
Right. He said, "You know, I want to talk about the fact that Hashem helped me and son of a gun." All the letters came out the same.
But he said that he was Aror because he was a Kanani, not because he was an evil person. Eliezer was a good person, so much so that he entrusted him. Avram entrusted him to find that he made.
So we have the question of the Chidah. He wants to know how could Avram name it. So we'll skip to four lines from the bottom of the first paragraph. Even though he didn't have that in mind, you could have been the Chidah. Right? Even though he didn't, Moshe did not name his child after Eliezer. Right? He said, I'm naming it because Elokei Avi Be'ezri, because the God of my father has helped me. Right? Mikol Makom Maida Minin Dro Maski B'Shemayu. The fact that we say we don't mention this name anymore. That should be even if I'm not naming after the person, and even if there's another reason for it. So again, by the way, any answers that we have offered until now that work here? What? Right, but I'm saying an answer. If you buy into the answer of this is before Shlomo, Moshe is before Shlomo. Okay, but again, the Chidah is not suggesting that. As a by the way, Chana clearly did not pass in that way either. Right? Because. Right, according to the Chatzam Sofer, who knew the inner workings of the Chana Elkanah negotiations for the naming of the child. So, I mean, being that Elkanah already had 10 sons from Penina, probably everyone in his side of the family was named for, I imagine. So he says, V'hayaf shalomah dehechada Hashem atzma hu tov na'av yaya lo mashkichan im adam rasha nikri b'shem zeh. If it happens to be a very nice name, right? Eliezer, the Lord helps me. So the fact that a rasha happened to get in on it doesn't hurt. So he says, nowadays if you want to name your kid Eliezer, that's not a problem. You're naming after Moshe's son. Aye, but what about Moshe? His grandson, I think you might be referring to.
Okay.
Right, his grandson.
Well,
whose name was?
Wait, finish your translation. What were you saying?
What?
You were in the middle of your translation.
His name is not Menashe. What? I'll get back to him. Yonason ben Eliezer ben Menashe, it says. Right. Moshe is the first word as Menashe in that pasuk. So, what we were saying is as follows. So how could Moshe name his son Eliezer? That remains a question. Okay, everyone else could name after him, but how did Moshe do it? So he said, if there's a name that's particularly beautiful, right, religiously significant, right, so the fact is, despite that just because somebody who was not good had the name as well, that doesn't knock it out of the running. What? So,
you're hanging on there.
But Tosfos didn't think that way, right? See, it's an interesting one. The chazera isi b'shut b'samim rosh chadoshos me'ata miyuchosim osa laharosh. So they also saw the Sefer. Are you familiar with the Sefer B'samim Rosh? Right, I was trying to see if anyone remembers anything. At least you remember that we did something about it. So the B'samim Rosh, right, is, as he writes, came out during the time of the Chida, and it's a tshuva sefer that supposedly that the Rosh wrote. Rishar Gedolim Shkosev B'simin Kavtzadi U'v'ikar Sheva Ketzah Kormen Yishmol. So he asks the question, how does Rabbi Yishmol get the name? Ain on Tzvichim U'divrei HaMedrash. We don't need any help. She Yishmol also tshuva. So there, Yishmael had a beautiful name. So I don't need to say this because he really did tshuva. But even if he didn't do tshuva, Yishmael Kel, God should hear. That's a beautiful name. But if the guy's name is George, right? George isn't particularly beautiful, and so if the only George in the world was a Russia, then you should do it, because George on its own doesn't have, carry any value, and the only George we know is that guy, so forget it.
It's like the issue with Shach, it says,
right, so he goes further. So again, there's three types of names in the world. There's good names, there's bad names, and there's neutral names. According to the Chida, a good name can still work out, but not a neutral or a bad name. According to Pnei Yeshua, a bad name doesn't work out, but a neutral and good does. Right, so most names, I assume, are neutral. So that's a big difference. So he quotes that. V'acher kosvi yatzu orin al sefer zeh. He realized afterwards that people were complaining about the B'samim Rosh. We spoke about last year, maybe, the fact that B'samim Rosh was a forgery.
Right? Don't name anybody B'samim Rosh.
Good point you make there. So he says, so maybe we should scratch that one. And we talk about Dvarim Efshe Lomar De Lo Ne'emar Lo Maskinim B'Shamayu Ela K'Shehu Rasha Aval Hocher Eliezer HaYetzadik. So this is what a lot of people were saying earlier. Yeah. Eliezer was never a bad guy. When you had Shepherd motioning that to Eliezer, Eliezer was a great guy. So again, he didn't like his Yichus. I'm sorry. It doesn't make me a bad person. Right? So that's why he said that the whole question probably doesn't get off the ground about Eliezer, because besides the other answers, Arur doesn't equal Russia. Right, you know, so that doesn't make him a bad person. Last paragraph, an interesting one. Va'od Afshar Afus Rav Mabitro Maskin. He said there's actually another answer. This is a very sharp one. Dami Razal, Kishol Moshe Lamar Motzal Akarish Baruch Shoya Omer, Eleazar Bini Omer Egla Bash Nosa, etc. When Moshe went up, he saw that God was learning Torah. And he's saying that Eleazar Bini, Eleazar has this interesting chiddush. Varmi he rotsan the yotze zeme chalotzi. Moshe Rabbeinu says, how have I should have a child like this that God likes what he's learning? That's why he named his son. He says, that's why Eliezer was an exception. Eliezer was an exception because God kind of told him to do it. So that was the reason that he named Eliezer. But again, probably the second to last answer is the strongest answer, because Eliezer was really not a bad guy. There's a story that Rav Shach always tells about the Rebbe Yishmael. And I've never really found the source for it, but I found a website that has the same story. So I put it on here as well because it is relevant. The story, I'll say it outside. Rav Shach has a similar approach to it. It is the actual story itself is the same, but the background's a little different. But what's agreed upon is when Rav Yonasan Eibshitz was a young man, he found himself in a situation where he had to say Dvar Torah from a sitter. The way Rav Shatter says it, they were checking him out for a shidduch. Rav Shatter has a much more colorful version. He says it came to the point that that Rav Yonasan Eibshitz, this is known as a young child, was known as an Eli. So obviously the kid's the best learner, the richest guy wants him as the son-in-law. But the richest guy isn't always the biggest Talmud Chacham. So therefore the richest guy took a bunch of Rabbanim with him to meet the kid. So they went to the shul and he was there with a bunch of Rabbanim, and the first question they asked is, which one of us is the father-in-law? He looks and he says, that one. He said, how did you know? He said, I don't like him already. So then they said to him, tell us the Dvar Torah. So he says, what do you want me to tell you Dvar Torah on? Bring me a sefer. So you know, it's a shul. Well, there is the Durim. So they gave him a sitter. So he opened up to Rabbi Yishmael Omer, which is obviously the most important of tefillos. And he said, he looked at it, he said, okay, I have three questions. First question is, why does it say Rabbi Yishmael Omer? It should say Omer Rabbi Yishmael. Right? Whenever, the way it works in the Gemara is when someone makes a comment, it says Omer so-and-so. And then when you respond, you turn it around. If you say, Omer Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yishmael Omer, right? That's a response. So how come you start with that? That's question number one. Number two is Yud Gimel Midos. There's 13 rules you have for learning up Sukkim. One of them is a Klal Prat, and the other is a Prat Uklal. If there's a general statement followed by a specific statement, is one type. A specific statement followed by a general statement is the second type. But wait a second. We know that there's a rule, Ein Muktam U'Mukhar B'Torah. There's no specific order in the Torah. So if that's the case, how do I know if the specific came first or the general came first? And they both have different rules, according to Rabbi Yishmael. And the third question is, what type of mother names her kid Yishmael? So he says, I'll answer them all with one answer. So it says in the Chumash, at the end of Parshas Chayesara, that when Avram dies, Yitzchak and Yishmael bury him. Second. Right? That it says, so what does that mean? So Rashi says, this shows that Yishmael did tshuva. Yishmael repented because he saw Yitzchak was the better man, he let him go first. Now wait a second. If Ein Muktam U'Mukhar B'Torah, how do you know he let him go first? So Rabbi Yishmael held that even though in the general Torah there is no order, within the story itself, there is an order, right? So therefore, if you're dealing with one specific area, so yesh muktam u'mukha v'torah, so therefore you can have a kal u'pratu, pratu kal. Assuming it's next to each other, that means it's in the right order. And that's why he says Rabbi Shmuel Omer, because he's arguing on people that say there's never order in the Torah. And in fact, he was so convinced that he called himself Yishmael, because this allows the drasha to say Yishmael was a good guy. That's what Gerson Eifert said as a young man. So, yes, this one.
Did he get the father-in-law?
What?
Did he marry the daughter?
I don't know. These are major issues. Practical questions. There is a tshuva sefer called the Aseil Charav, Rav Chaim David Alevi. He was a Rav Sfaradi in Eretz Yisrael. He took over as chief rabbi of Tel Aviv after Rav Avadya Yosef became Rav Rashi. Right, so he wrote many Sfarim, a lot of practical ones. His most popular set is called Aseil Charav. So he has a tshuva on this, and he wants to know, a guy writes in, he says, She'alta odo zesh akara lebincha b'shem Omri ben Yamin. You named your son Omri ben Yamin. Who was Omri? He was a king, but not a particularly good one. In fact, a particularly bad one. Ve'ir lecha she'em lekor b'shem Rishon, v'omri melech rosh haya. So this name Omri that you gave, Omri was a bad king. It says specifically he was worse than any king that came before him.
We called him Omri
ben
Yamin, so we said if you added the second name.
See, God dropped the Omri. But die ro b'shem ben Yamin. Just call your kid ben Yamin. Don't use the Omri at all. The name Omri is very popular in Israel. If I remember correctly, Ariel Sharon's son was an Omri. I know this because he was arrested for something. What? Omri Katzbi, correct? From Sacramento?
Omri, does it mean anything?
What? Right, it was a poor Yitzhak. Right? Right, so in fact, we had a story in Yeshiva of a fellow named Omri. Interesting story. He was a Baal Tshuva. He grew up in Israel, went through the army, traveled the Far East, somehow ended up on 23rd Street in downtown Manhattan selling tablecloths, wandered into YU one day, learned in YU, and eventually moved to some kollel in Eretz Yisrael. And when I met him in Eretz Yisrael, a while later, I said, Omri. He said, Amram.
Does Omri mean anything?
No. It's a question, but we'll assume that. Another name, there's a sefer, I'd never seen it before, called the Derech Sicha. Of Chaim Kanievsky, a lot of there's this business of people who ask him questions, write it down, and then publish it as books. So Derech Sicha is a Mekabesh Tshuvos Amuros V'Hanhogos L'fi Seder HaParshis HaTorah Shnemar Aydei HaMaran HaGon Rav Chaim Kanievsky Shrita. This is just a bunch of things that we like to write about him, divided by the Parshis. So in Parshis Bereishis, right? Some guy named his son Matan. Also not an unpopular name. I know at least one guy from YU at Smicho named Matan. Bikashti Be'arav Bracha Avor Bachur B'Shem Matan. There's a kid named Matan. He wanted him to get a bracha. Miyad he gives that shame shall rush of Amal Roshan Apostle B'Malachim. Right? So you can't do it as it says in Malachim. That's Matan Akohen Habal. Hargu if name is Bechos. This fellow Matan was a priest for Avodah Zarah, who was killed for that. Right? So he said, right away, Sheva Itzar Hanal, Nitan Hashem, Lacher Sheaviv, Nachla, Ve'oz Isha Nifkadam, that his parents were married for a long time and he was a Ben Zakunim. They were wanted to give so that they appreciated Hashem. They named him Matan, Miroshan Matana. So, what's the story with that? So he said, "No dice, tshuva matan hu shem shal rosha v'tzarchish nosa." So the name Omri has to be changed. The name Matan has to be changed. There is some discussion about the name Nimrod. We have a Nimrod in the Smicha program in YU right now, and Nimrod. It's interesting. Nimrod. There's no pasuk that says he was a rosha, right? Hu Gibor Tzayid, so Rashi says that he was a Rasha. So the question is, maybe that's different. Maybe that's according to some Midrashim, other Midrashim don't necessarily agree on that. So Nimrod is not as bad as Omri or Matan. And the question was asked at dinner tonight, what about the name Yehudis? Who was Yehudis? What? Yehudis was the wife of Yishmael. Of Esav Yishmael. Esav, not Yishmael, right? Right, and in fact, it's clear, Rashi said that her name wasn't actually Yehudis, they called her Yehudis in order to trick Yitzhak into thinking that she was a very religious woman. So can you name your daughter Yehudis? So many of the Heterim apply to this. One is her name wasn't really Yehudis, so the Heter of the Meraglim applies. Right, that's the first one off the bat. That the Pnei Yoshua applies. Second is we know that there was another Yehudis, maybe a more popular Yehudis, who lived after who was a wonderful woman. And two, Yehudis itself is a beautiful name. So basically, the case of Yehudis, even though that it was the daughter of Esav, still, basically every single heter works with it, so I think that's why nobody has a problem with that. And I think it's a lovely name.
Can you go back to Matan for a second? Why is that not a good name?
Because Matan was a priest of idolatry.
Okay. Where?
And that's bad.
Where is it talking about that?
In Kings.
Oh, okay.
In Malachim, the pasuk is there.
The Matans now?
Or the organization Matan in Israel?
I know of a couple.
What?
This is pretty.
Right, but is it prettier than Natan?
It's a commemoration of Matan Torah.
right? So clearly Rav Kanievsky did not think it was such a pretty name.
He thought that, you know. Combination with a different name.
I think so, right. Right, I buck the trend. All of my daughters have one name. I didn't know I was going to have five from the get-go, so if I started with two, I would have run short, right? But it wasn't just that. But, you know, I happen to be a strong believer that if one Zeta's name is Yaakov, the other Zeta's name is Eliezer, if you call your kid Yaakov Eliezer, you named him after nobody. We had a great case in Yeshiva of a Baal Tshuva. His name was Binyamin Ben Yehuda Yehuda. Actually, the actual name. So where did that come from? So he said he had two grandfathers. They were fighting who to name him after. So he named him after both. And if you think about it, the name sounds ridiculous, but it's really more ridiculous because the name was Ben Ben Yehuda Yehuda. Or 0011, as we like to call him. All right.